Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
I call your name.
Hey, welcome to the Signs of Life Radio Mediums Insight Hour, where we get to explore the mindsets of accomplished mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, I'm extremely honored to welcome back Bobbi Allison. She is a certified medium with Forever Family Foundation. Like her mother, grandmother, and three sisters, she was born with enhanced intuitive abilities. She honed these by practicing positive meditation and studying spirituality. She's been featured on radio, television, and she's a natural teacher. In addition to her abilities as a medium, she has the unique ability to relay messages from master guides through automatic writing. She's also a remote viewer, enabling her consciousness to be transported to locations of missing items and people, and she's also helped law enforcement with that ability. She shared her gifts with numerous charitable organization, and her website is Bobbi Allison, www.bobbiallison.com. There's three B's in there and two L's. So ladies and gentlemen, our tonight's show, as always, commercial free. So sit back, curl up with a nice blanket, have a drink. Let us stimulate your imaginations for the rest of the hour. Oh yes. Tonight's show, it's as always, you know, Bobby's not going to be doing any readings. None of the mediums on this show do. This is more of an exploratory show. So your questions are very welcome. If you've got a question about mediumship or anything about the other side, that kind of stuff, feel free to call in. Number to call is 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. With all that said, welcome to the show, Bobbi. How you been surviving?
Thank you for having me. I'm well. How are you?
Not too bad. I think the last time we spoke was November of 2022.
Yes, I think it's been almost a year. Yeah.
Yeah, just about a year. Bobbi, yeah. Where are you? On Long Island or somewhere around there?
Oh, I bop around everywhere. I was Long Island, Colorado, now Florida, but who knows?
Oh, you're in Florida now?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, just in time for the winter, I guess, you know. Winters are nice there.
Yeah, it's a little hot here for me, but you know, you lose 3 months in New York for the cold, and I think you view it that way if you stay in the AC in the summertime here. So yeah, it gets super hot, but hey, it is what it is.
Yep, that's the way it goes. Good.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to? The usual? You're still doing readings and all of that?
Yeah, I'm doing my readings. I actually read international, I read all over the world because you know, Lauren Lynn Jackson, she's a very good friend of mine, and she wrote a couple of books and put me in those books, and that started that. And then when you have, you know, word of mouth and people travel and so on and so forth. So I read everywhere, anywhere. It's pretty cool, you know, to really reach, you know, time differences are a little kind of funky, but we work it out. And it's so nice because it really just shows that near or far, you know, wherever you are, that spirit can come through in their energy form. Energy never dies, and life goes on in that form. It just changes form, actually. So it's really cool to see that I can read somebody like, you know, in Australia or Nigeria. I've read, I mean, so many places. So cool.
Well, do you, when you do most of the readings, is it just like vocal, or do you use video?
I used to do a lot of my readings through the years in person.
Yep.
But when we were forced all to do just phone readings a couple of years back, as we all know, I now find that those readings for me happen to be the best, where I'm not having to look somebody in the eye, because what I do is when I close my eyes, the visions come at me so fast that I'm able to capture it a little better when I'm not having to play the role of Bobby looking at the person sitting in front of me. So right. It's not really a preference. It's just I feel I can control it better when I am just closing my eyes and tuning into the person and see everything and anything as it flies at me, rather than having to, you know, like pay attention, not be rude to the person. So yeah, the phone readings are great. I love them.
And they must have been, it must have, because of the pandemic, that must have been like a real upshoot in the amount of phone readings that you do.
Oh my goodness. I thought like everybody's like, you know, crying, they were losing their jobs. And my business went booming because people wanted to know. And it wasn't only that, it was just people had more time to reflect, more time to kind of set the stage for themselves, for their own healing, pay attention to themselves with the self-care and the self-love. And they felt like maybe this was the time to take the opportunity to get more spiritual, to read books, to find out what the afterlife is about. And it really, really afforded all of us to kind of do the healing work in a different way, be the voice of reason and really build upon, you know, what we already knew, but sometimes people weren't ready to hear.
Mm-hmm. Do you still do in-person readings at all?
I do. I mean, I haven't here because there's just, I don't know. It just hasn't warranted yet. I haven't had anybody. Everybody really just says they want either Zoom or whatever, which, you know, I mean, I try to shy away from that only because, like I said, it's easier for me to just close my eyes and get right in. I think the reading is much more clearer, crisp, and better. Not that it's different, but because sometimes I close my eyes and if I let the person know beforehand that, you know, I'm not being rude, but I'm closing my eyes because of this or whatever.
Right. But that's an extra thing that you have to slip in.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm very visual. So if someone's more visual and over, you know, clairsentient or whatever, all the clairs, then you have to kind of go with what you feel at that time. Could it change? Yeah, it could. And do I mind doing it in person? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I've done home groups, galleries, fundraisers, all on Long Island and stuff. But once you...
I remember seeing you at a night of mediums. You were actually...
Oh, okay.
You were at my table.
That.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You were at my table. You got my son spot on.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just... I like for people to know that every medium has a special gift. We all do it. We all read in a different way, but everybody gets basically the same information. Some of us go a little deeper because maybe we heal in a different way. But I think that everybody's special and unique, and everybody can do this work to a point. Like everybody can dance, but not everybody's going to be a dancer type of thing. And I think that when we teach each other through using all the clairs and using all of our, you know, extrasensory perceptions, I think that when you learn them and you meditate, you're able to open them up and kind of use them because it's a gift that we all have.
Right.
So I think it's beautiful.
Oh, great. Do you, are most of your readings, are they more like more on the medium side or more on the psychic side clients that you get?
Well, I tell you the truth, they are, it's equal because I say to them, do you want more psychic? Do you want more mediumship? Do you want a mix of both? Or do you just want to go with the flow? Most people will say, well, if I could have the whole kit and caboodle, then just go with the flow because I'll give them the mediumship. But then the people that come through for them, whether it be loved ones, friends or family, whatever, they are the ones that give them the psychic information about what's coming forward and what they spent together in the past. So it's kind of cool the way they do it, the way they set it up for me. But there's some type of themes to it. Sometimes I'll get like a whole week of this, then a whole week of that, then it might switch for a month of this and a month of that. So it's kind of cool. It could be mediumship, like only they only want mediumship. Then it will be like, well, I was looking for some guidance because I do counseling, spiritual counseling and guidance and things like that, help people to raise their vibration, to get into their next kind of level of consciousness, to open it up and expand so that they can be so much better for them, the better version of themselves, so to speak. So it really depends on the theme of the month or what the person wants. If it's a repeat client, which I get, you know, for years and years now. So a lot of new people too, that really never had a reading. So they want to try everything.
Right. Now, do you, you're talking about repeat clients. How often would you see a repeat client? What's the average?
Well, I get this question quite often. So I used to be like a stickler. I'd be like, well, you can't really have a reading in 2 weeks or 3 months because, you know, you have to have life experience if you want the psychic end of it. But then spirit started to tell me, like, you can't hold people back. If you're a healer and you are healing, your client, you can't stop them from wanting to speak to spirit because spirit can speak anytime. And it's true. So I tell them, if you feel the need that you want another reading, when you do is you say a prayer, and if your guides and your angels and your loved ones say it's okay and that you feel that you can connect with them and, you know, you want to take that time for yourself, then you can just go to the website and do whatever you want. I don't hold them back anymore. If it's psychic, I try to say, you know, let's have a little life experience. You have to let some of what I said, well, what came through me happen, or else then, like, maybe you didn't hear enough, which is fine too. It depends. It just depends. I don't stop them anymore, if that's the question. No. I used to, but I don't anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I have people that just come to me every 2 weeks for counseling. So that's a whole different thing. It's different depending on what they want, you know?
Right. I mean, I'm sure that if you saw somebody, you know, grieving for their lost loved one, you know, I mean, you wouldn't want them coming back every week to.
No. Well, I did have a client that had me there. I think it was every 2 weeks because it wasn't just hearing from his brother. It was hearing from his brother, but also to help to heal him because he was so saturated in grief and he didn't know how to climb out of the well. So whether he heard from him 5 minutes out of the session, and then I worked with him to teach him the tools to get himself out of that well and to feel that he can breathe again and not be drowned in that sorrow. Yes. Right. Then that's their choice if they want to, you know, if they want to go ahead. But yes, absolutely.
Okay. So we have some, I'm going to read you some questions that some of our listeners, and some of them are like, they're all pretty good actually. All right. So we'll start with the first one. Does being near water assist psychics and mediums? It seems like many live in places near water.
Yes. So wow. I always say that water is the conduit to energy, to spirit. Why? I don't have all the answers, but if you're near the lake, a pool, the tub, the shower, for some reason, spirit is able to connect on a deeper level. And that's where they kind of come around and they let you know that they're there. It's where they connect with you. Not every one of them say that to me, but the majority of them say it is the conduit. So maybe that would be a question for Bob. Like maybe they studied that. I don't know, but that is true. And it is true. And a lot of mediums come from a lot of Long Island. A lot of us come out of there, but I don't think it just has to do with the water. If that's the question they were asking, it has to do with what's underneath the earth in that particular area. So I've heard, not something that spirit told me. I heard this from a friend of mine, said there's a crystal and this is why everybody I gathered here, and that's why, you know, everybody opened up in such a way. So psychic and mediumship was the next level of that. And I was like, well, that's a cool answer.
You just said crystals. What do crystals do?
Well, I'm not into all of that. Like, I don't work with them, but my friends do. And what they do is they help to open up different levels of vibration. And they help to heal. I know there's a lots of different things that I still should study on, but only if I'm attracted to it. It's not my thing, but you know, that might be somebody else. Like some of the other girls do that, but I was never really interested in going deeper with that at this time.
Right. Yeah. Some people use healing crystals and meditation crystals.
Yeah. I just think it helps to open up different chakras or different meridian lines. And some people feel that they use that as a healing tool, like if somebody's a natural healer or a Reiki, but a lot of people have them. And no, I have some, I have like the amethyst and so on and so forth, which is, good in a lot of areas. And then some people use them, you know, faithfully when they read, they hold them. Some people use, like, you know, the oils to open up their senses and stuff. Me, for me personally, I don't use any of that. I don't need any of that. I don't need cards. I don't need any, like, tools like that. I just read the energy and the visions fly at me. I don't even ask questions. Like, they just talk to me. They're just there. And I try to tell people, and I have, like, this little meme that I put up every once in a while. And I said, I don't talk to dead people. They find me. They talk to me. I don't ask them questions, really. And some people say, that's, how do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, I've been, you know, I read a bunch of books on spirituality, and, you know, I've been doing this show for what, four years now, I think, maybe even longer. I don't know. But I still find it flabbergasting that, you know, you go and you hire a medium. You know, you're an average person that's, you know, maybe in grief or something like that. And you give a medium some, you know, you hire a medium, you pay the medium, whatever. And all of a sudden, like, the spirit know that you did it to that particular medium and ends up, at, you know, with that medium. I mean, how does that work? Or is it always around you and you just happen to be able to pick it up?
Well, I think this is all directed by the other side. I think they choose the medium a lot of the times. Like, I've had people say, oh my goodness, I saw you at a home party and it was a 15 minute quick reading. I put the card in my old pocketbook or a jacket. And like 5 years later, my card just falls out and they happen to lose somebody, like, either the month before or the week before. So spirit oftentimes sets it all up from the other side, makes it happen, makes a friend say, oh, I had this psychic reading by Bobby or Kim or Laura or whomever. And then they just, it's word of mouth. So that's how, like, a lot of my clients come from word of mouth, from repeat, from years of doing, you know, home parties and stuff. But the other side really sets that up. They know what you're going to do because it's your higher self. It's your future self. So there's all different levels of us, our own soul. And it knows what's going to happen, how to set things up so that people can really heal. And that's what it's all about. Yeah. So they talk to me.
I wish my higher soul would have given me the lotto numbers for last night's drawing.
Yeah, no. But listen, it's really not what it's used for. It's not. Because I can't tell you how many times people wanted to take me on the phone to the casino so I could call out the numbers. And I said, absolutely, positively not. Because if I'm not going to call them out for myself, I'm certainly not calling them out for you. Because it's not what this is used for. And I don't like that stuff. I just think that I am one of those people, like, some people might be like, oh, stop. I don't do that. I take this. I cherish this. I'm humble. I like to keep this exactly what it is. It's a gift. And I like to also say to people, you're not paying for the information that I'm giving you. You're paying for my time. And I put a lot of thought and a lot of work to get where I am since 1998. And that's the gift. The gift is, everybody has a gift, a doctor, a nurse, a carpenter, a mechanic, whatever. Everybody has a certain gift that they go into that field. You're not paying for that. You're paying for the person's time. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we go by the monetary system, you know.
Yeah. And you guys have to survive, right? You have to eat. You have to have a
right. And it's really taxing. Like, even my husband doesn't understand that when I read once a day or twice a day, it is so draining. When you've been doing it for so long, it's like, well, you're not working like an 8-hour job. Well, it feels like it's 12. How about that? Because if you're if you're bringing somebody through their grief and you're taking from them what they don't know how to release themselves, you're carrying that with you until you can release that night. It's a heavy burden sometimes to carry other people's stuff, but you're so happy that you can do that as well, so that you can help that person to maybe be at peace a little bit, you know? So it's just, I don't know. I just always like to say that when somebody's interviewing me or chatting, because I think it's important to let people know that, because there are some people that go, how could you charge for your gift? That is da, 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 da. And I'm just like, what? That's not my gift. You're getting charged for my time. And just like if you went to the doctor, you're going to tell him he shouldn't charge this or what he should charge. Or, you know, I don't know. I get a little bit heated because I think that people don't respect each other enough, not in just this field, in every field. And I think people should, you know, it's not like I'm going out saying you have to have this. This is something that somebody pays for by choice, not because they have to. They want to.
And, you know, in order to share your gift, the way that the world works, you know, if you couldn't make a living off of it, then you couldn't be doing it, unfortunately, because you'd have to do something else to survive.
Well, that's what I did. I was going to school. I was working a full-time job. Then I was working parties at night. I was absolutely positively exhausted. There's no way that I could have done this and working a full-time job. It just wasn't balanced for me. And I had to make a choice to leave a very well-paying job that I worked at for years. And I had to make the choice to walk away and having complete faith, intrinsic faith, that that phone was going to continue to ring. Because at that point, you got into this company, it was very hard to get into, and you never leave. People are there forever. And I made the choice to walk away for God, for spirit, for whatever you want to call it, the omnipresence, the universe, whichever. And to say, like, if I leave, you have to continue to let the phone ring so that I can make the same money that I was making. Because that was my lifestyle, you know, my living, my bills, whichever. And the phone, like, just never stopped. And that was, like, I think 2000 and I don't remember what year I left. Maybe 2006.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah, I left the job. And I don't ever think that it will stop unless I want it to. Like, if that's what I sort of manifest, or if I say, like, I've had enough. Like, you know, there is different changes that I'm making. And I think that we all do that at point. We get a little burned out because it's the same thing over and over. So you want to always build upon that, enhance it, get more people involved in it, and get excited to see people trying to open up themselves. And it's just, it's a cool feeling.
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. So I got another question. This comes from a reader, listener. If someone reincarnates, can we no longer communicate or get signs from them?
Correct. If somebody's back into life and they've come back, then obviously you can't speak to them and get signs. There's no way. No, you can't, because they've been rebirthed. So no, you
have
cannot.
You run into that scenario with, like, somebody trying to get a reading from somebody specific? And
absolutely. They don't tell me before, because I don't allow people to give me names or anything, because I want to go in not knowing anything. Sometimes people will even give me a fictitious name, or somebody else will book the reading. And then when I call the person and go, yeah, can I speak with Karen? And they go, oh, no, that's who booked the reading. My name is blah, blah, blah. Because they feel, I have people that do it anonymously too. But I forgot where I was going with this. This is what happens to me sometimes when you're a medium, you forget. But
yeah, no, that's okay.
Just repeat it again.
Basically, you know what? I forgot too. I guess we're both getting old.
I know. Yeah, because that's part of mediumship. That's what happens. We forget. No, it's off on a tangent.
Yeah, no, it was about the question, if somebody reincarnates, we can no longer communicate.
Oh, yes. No, you cannot.
Yeah.
Because there's no way, because it's like, that would be like somebody trying to get in contact with you and I, but we're in another body, and no, so you're not going to get a sign. No. Not that I've ever heard of, anyway. Yeah, no, there's no possible way, yeah.
That's very fascinating. Like, do you get that a lot? Like, when, you know, sorry, I can't talk to your mom because, you know.
No, I don't. There's been a couple of times that people have said to me, like, I've been to so many different mediums and I've never heard from blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then I'll say to them, well, they probably chose to come right back in. But normally, if you read all the books and you've read them, you will know that normally we all go back in bands of 100. So they won't reincarnate until we all go back together. And then we choose. You heard that before in books, right? Soul groups, which one we want to go in, what role we're going to play when we come back in. So unless somebody is sort of like a suicide, and they have to kind of come back in to relearn because they weren't supposed to check out type of thing, as sometimes they will come right back in because they chose to do that. So that's kind of, you know, it's a different scenario with that. But that's what I've experienced. I mean, it could be wrong for some people. Maybe some mediums have different takes on it, because I think we all have our own, like I said before, our own unique ways and beliefs from what our guides are feeding us.
Very interesting. Let's go to another question. Mm-hmm. This next question, I can't even read it. It just spelt so bad and just worded so up. I'll read what I said. Have you heard of anyone or in your own experience use to pendulum to speak to your loved one? I seem to be getting energy from that, my daughter.
Okay. So it's probably somebody from somewhere else, but that's fine.
Yeah.
People do that. A lot of people use pendulums. And I think it's, again, that's just another tool, because some people can't fathom the idea that they can just get energy and see visions in their mind because they think they're making it up. So they have to use an outside tool, like as a pendulum or tarot cards, which is fine because I have many friends that do it. And I think there are some that use the pendulum too. But so no, I don't do that, but you can do that if that's something that you practice. But what I would also like to say with that, if you're using something that you don't know what it's about, the whole history of it and so on, I would definitely make sure that you're using it with the intention of pure love and the intention is positive, because you don't want to call in like lower level energies when you're doing or working with something that you really don't know too much about.
Right.
So you might want to kind of ask somebody, look it up, or, you know, but you can get information any way that your, you know, daughters or sons or spouses can get you the message, they will, because spirit just has a funny way of getting sleep. That's why they can manipulate like maybe birds or ladybugs and drop coins and things, because they can, that's a little energy. Yeah. It takes to kind of, you know, do those things. So yeah, I think they can use anything that, you know, like my grandmother used to read playing cards, and I was always looking, I'm like, what is she doing? Before I was into any of this, I'm like, playing cards, like really? Like, and I just wanted nothing to do with it. I was not attracted to playing cards. I wasn't attracted to tarot. I tried. My sister's very good at it. It doesn't do anything for me. I just like to close my eyes and do my thing. It's like they plug in.
Right. So your sister is your sister is also has some abilities. I mean, you grew up from a family.
Oh my gosh. My whole family does, but even all my nieces and nephews, my daughter, but they won't use it. My one sister does, and she does actually do readings, but she does them by text. That's her thing. She likes, I've done email readings like in other countries where they don't have like Wi-Fi or the phone is too expensive. So they just want to do it by email. I've done those, and it's energy. So it can go anywhere. It doesn't mean you can't text it. You can't email it. Any form of any device, anything, you could just do it. Like somebody can say to me, here, I have this missing person's case and this is the first name, and I just want to know what you get on it. So I'll just sit at home and I'll take a pen, or I'll turn my notes on my phone and I'll just get the information. I just either type it out to them or whatever. And it's the same thing as talking to somebody.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
That's kind of brings us to the topic of automatic writing. You do that as well, right?
Yes.
Oh, tell us what that's like. How do you do that?
That is like my little best kept secret. When I first started out in 1998, I went to a healer, and I had a really beautiful experience. And when I started going to the meditation classes, I don't know, I just put like everybody had picked a card out from this like angel group of cards, and then she would read the messages on the card. And then one time I just felt like, I'm going to read this book. It was called Angel Speak. And it was a very short read. And I sat down and I did what the woman in the book told to do. You light a white candle, you say a little prayer, and then you get the pen and paper and you just see what happens. So I got like this 8-page poem, which I don't write poetry. And it was all about the healer and her family. And I was so embarrassed to give it to her, but everybody kept saying, no, you got to tell her, you got to tell her. Everything in it, she understood. So then I started just kind of giving little gifts each week to the people in the meditation class by giving them automatic writing. So each time I meditated and I raised my vibration and opened up my third eye and accepted that I can do this work and be the receiver, it just went haywire. So every single person that came into the room that was new, because every week there was new people, I decided that I was going to channel an automatic write for them a gift. And it was always spirit. It was somebody they lost. It was somebody that, you know, it was a friend of a friend or a family member. And it would be like a 3-page little on those little yellow notepads. And they would open it up and go, how the hell did you know that? And I'm like, well, I didn't. It is what comes through me. It's not made of me. So it was beautiful experience. It boosted my confidence as Bobby to say, I'm a good listener. I can listen to spirit. So that's why it's like they take over your arm, so to speak, and they push the pen. You feel like it's a different style writing than your own. And most of the time they signed it. So sometimes they would sign it like a guide that maybe I graduated and it was a different name. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it was really unique and it was a different type of feeling. And it was so humbling. They would sign it, Lord, thy God. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I never edited anything. It just came out like that. Sometimes it would be like a guide that I had was like, her name was Heliana. And she was giggly and funny. And she wrote funny things. And then there was like, I was writing limericks. I didn't even know what the heck that was until everybody's like, that's a limerick. I'm like, okay.
There was then once a man from men took it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then it changed. Like it would change with my guys as I graduated, so to speak, on the other side. They were like, you know, you're going levels up because you're listening, you're learning. So each time I had like a new guide or the spirit would come through for the person, it was always like all different things. So automatic writing is not just the person's loved one. It could be your guide, your angels, whomever wants to help you to get to where you need to go. No. So that was fun.
Does your handwriting change?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Sometimes it was so strong. The energy that goes through the hand was so strong. It would be like pressing on the paper. Like, and I write like big and bubbly, and it was always like the scratchy stuff. Sometimes you couldn't even make it out. I'd have to like go over it and try to remember what they said, but then it wasn't me. So I'm like, I can't remember. I was busy in the middle of taking dictation. So sometimes it was so like sloppy, and other times it was nice. It depended on who was writing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't done one in a while. I think I did one maybe like a year and a half or 2 years ago. Somebody asked me to do it. What?
Oh, that's okay. That
2 years ago.
Nice. So I got another question. And this one's pretty good because it's true. Why is it that mediums seldom describe what the afterlife is like? And that is true. You don't hear it very often. You hear a few. I mean, there's, you know, there's Anthony Borges' book, the famous one, Life in the World Unseen.
I don't know. I haven't read so many books lately, but I don't know. I think because we get caught up in making the sitter happy with how many of the relatives are there. I put them in a room and the room is so filled with lovely energies and lights and pets. And so I don't have time to go looking around the other side to see what it's like. I just, they don't sit there and say, yeah, we're on. It's kind of like not in the sky. It's just another dimension of beauty. And a lot of times they show me like a beautiful painting and you kind of create, it's really a creation of thought, and it really could be whatever you want it to be. So like they say, everything is an illusion, and it's hard for some people to really understand that, even myself. But like that movie, Where Dreams May Come with Robin Williams, where he goes into the painting and he's running through the fields with the dog. And it's like all this colorful and positive and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, I guess it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
But how do I know? I don't remember. I wasn't, I mean, I was there, but I don't remember. But they don't show me. They don't take me on these tours of the other side.
Right, right, right. I think with the amount of time that you have, you want to, you want to discuss.
Yeah, it's not about what it looks like. It's about the energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Energy is energy. And it's just beautiful. And it's, well, the only thing that I could describe, which maybe this will answer a little better. When I had my healing done, my first healing, an angel or something with wings came down and they took me out of my body and they brought me to this place, but it wasn't like this bright light. It wasn't like anything or like people coming at me. It was just a static, a knowing and a deep, deep, deep love. And I, at that point, I didn't remember that I had a body. Or even really what my name was, or that I had a child. I just was, I felt I was home. I was at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were talking to me. Like, I don't even remember exactly what they said, but I remember them saying, okay, you got to go back now. And I'm like, back where? Like, what are the, like, I didn't understand what they meant.
What triggered that, by the way? Like that experience?
I went for a healing because I had really horrible things happen in my childhood. And then I had this like medical issue and I thought I needed to be healed from that. So I went to my family friend's sister. She was a healer and I wanted to experience that full on healing because I was so shattered by what had happened to me. And this is what happened. They took me out. But when she did it, she put her hands over my head and was putting the energy in. And when she got to the lungs, I felt the shuddering sort of in my lungs. And I said, you're in my lungs. And she said, yes. As soon as she said that, yes, that's when I felt these wings almost like, or arms take me out. And then I was like at peace. So all I heard, like, I guess a little time later was come back to the room. And I heard her keep repeating it. And I'm like, and as they're telling me in this room that they put me in, which was like powder blue, grayish, but loving and just so melodic. I can't even describe it. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, she's like, oh my goodness. She said, you've been heaving, crying for 45 minutes. I couldn't get you back. She said, my lungs, and I was just hysterical crying. So whatever healing that they gave to me was so beautiful. I couldn't even talk above a whisper for 1 week. I was totally changed at that point because I was like, I never knew that somebody could touch my soul on a very deep level. And I just was so grateful and humbled. And the experience that I had, I was calling people up, telling them, you're never going to believe what just happened to me. Like, and then later on from Forever Family, I met Robin and she had actual near-death experiences. And she told me that now that they found out that's called a near-death-like experience when mm-hmm. you experience that love on that level. And I never knew that. So I was very grateful to have that because I think it keeps me in such a place of very deep love and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I am an Aquarius as well. So I have a lot, you know, I'm very humanitarian and I do have that. And I really honor I'm honored to channel the light for people and I'm not hoping that I'm never, you know, making people feel otherwise.
Right.
And that's why I won't mock this. I won't do, I've been approached for so many TV shows, but I won't do them because I don't like the premise of it. I won't, I will never mock what we do. I won't do it. And
yeah, I see, won't. You know, a lot of mediums are talented and they go on and they do TV shows and, you know, become famous and all of that. Mm. And, you know, if I had that gift, I don't think I'd do it either because.
I think it depends. I really think it depends on the premise. It depends on what they want to do to make their money because really they're using something to get money, which, okay, that's fine. Everybody has to live off money. But if you're like one of them was, they wanted me to be like this psychic cab driver and then evoke emotion on people and like be the medium and, you know, and make them cry. And I just said that, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to do that. They were like, well, if we don't have to drive the cab, how about you be the passenger? And I'm like, no. So like, it's so many things like that. I've done a couple of pilots and I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but I just feel like, yes, it's nice to get it out there, but if it was a true, authentic, compassionate, but people don't like that. They like the drama. They like all that stuff that goes along with the person's life, and then they just rip you apart anyway. So
that's where the world is going to hell in a handbasket, my friend.
Yeah. And then the shows that they did have on that were true and that was so nice and sweet, they canceled them like after three seasons. So whatever. But, you know, it's a really humbling experience when you go full on and are able to really get somebody to say, oh my God, you changed my life. But I always remind people, this is not of me. It's what comes through me. Yes, I'm a good listener. Yes, I have compassion. Yes, I can teach you what I've learned from my journey. But remember, the ultimate energy that comes through is your loved ones and the Omni Spirit, whatever you want to call it, God. You know, people have different names for it. Energy, universe, whatever. It's all the same. It's just a label.
Yep. We're all part of the one, right?
Absolutely.
And we're, you know, I think the creator, God, whatever you want to call him, in all his brilliance has, you know, separated his consciousness into
absolutely
billions of different consciousnesses, because that is so much better than just one consciousness, you know?
Right. And so experiencing for each other. And that's why I've always been the person that always wanted unity. But I get ripped apart from people in my own life. Like, why do you always do this? Or why do you always do that? Why do you always push, you know, yourself in the background? Because it's not, I'm not putting myself in the background. I want everybody to walk together. I don't want anybody to be in front of me or behind me. I want to be in unity. I think you get more when you're with you in unity than if you're single. I really believe that. That's just my thing. It's just my belief. It's just what I have in my heart and soul. Why can't we do this together? Why does it have to be just this one or just that one? You know, when you have the army of, you know, of unity of people that are the same, you know, like mind or the same energy, you could do so much more to help other people than if you're just one person that could get knocked down from the people that are negative or don't believe or what have you. So if you go out with the force and power of unity and unite together, I just think that's special, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah. No, I mean, that applies not only to, you know, to psychic abilities and mediumship. That applies to everything in life. I mean, look at what's going on in Ukraine. The Ukrainians have a goal. They want to get the Russians out that invaded the country. And they're all thinking that, and they're focused, and they are doing very well against the Russians, considering they're 10 times smaller. You know, the Russians are, they're hurting. Anyhow.
Well, when you're talking things like that, yes. And I did mean unity in the whole world, but if you start with the people that do the same as you and show other people by leading by example, that you can open up many different minds and consciousness and all that to say like, wow, when people are banded together, it's just like a group. When you've got a singer and he goes out and he sings, or if you have a girl band or a guy band, it's so much better when they're all singing the same song, but they're all doing the different dances and who's wearing what costume. It's the same thing, but if you can't even do that with friends or foes, you know, that then that's the problem. You got to work on that unity, being united.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Yeah.
So another question is, when you are receiving communication, do you ever see the discarnate?
Sorry, say that again.
When you are receiving communication, do you ever see the discarnate? I guess when spirit's talking to you, like, I guess a better way to say that, like, are you clairsentient, clairaudient, clairvoyant? Do you see the discarnate
when you receive? I don't see spirit like you think I do. I see it like people that I know, or like a TV show that I might have watched when I was younger. I see spirit as an energy form. But then I see a flash of somebody that they either look like, or sometimes they'll show me like what they actually look like or close to it. But I don't see their, and I don't see them like you and I standing behind somebody. No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I think I would run. No, I don't think that would go over well with me, but I don't know. I think that would be a little frightening, right? In my mind's eye. But if I actually saw it with my eye, with my eyes, then yeah. I think I would get nervous. But I think in my mind, when I see spirit, I know, oh, this one looks like my dad, or this one looks like my sister, or so they'll show me my frame of reference. But no, I don't see it like that.
Okay. So do you, what would you describe yourself as the most when you are receiving messages? Is it like one of the three, like, or is it a combination of all three, like hearing things, seeing things, smelling things?
I think seeing, I'm very, very, very visual, mm-hmm. not only in my gifts, but in life itself. When you're going to a job, they always teach you, you know, that book you read it, who's a visual learner, who's an all hands-on. So I'm very visual. Like when I try playing piano a couple of times, I could see somebody play it and then replay it, but I can't learn. I can't explain it. I can't just read something and be like, okay, no, I have to see it, feel it, know it. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me how I do the reading other than I see the vision, but I just have a knowing. And when I know what I know it. And there's no changing my mind. I'm very adamant about what I see. And I'm so feverish. Like I can tell I'll give you a for instance. So I won't say any names. So I had a friend mm-hmm. that called me for an issue. And I said, this is not going to be good. It's not going to end well. And I can give you 50 reasons why they're showing me. But this person did not want to take any part of my advice. No, why are you saying that? I don't even know why I asked you this, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, mm-hmm. if you don't want to know, do not ask a psychic if you don't want to know. But my biggest pet peeve is when people are nosy about their lives, that's what I say, and they ask and they ask and they don't pay attention to what spirit is saying. And then it turns out that spirit was head on right. Then they say, well, don't say I told you so. It just gets me so mm-hmm. I get bizarred out because I'm like, why would you waste my time? And it's really, some of them are real. People come back, they'll repeat offenders. They'll come back and ask you about the same maybe kind of situation, but over and over, right. But they don't listen to what you're saying. So then they don't respect what you're saying. And then you're like, well, I'm spending my time so that you don't get hurt. But here you are. Allowing yourself to get hurt because you're not listening to what spirit's saying. So I don't know if that answers the question. I don't even know what you asked me. I just go on tangents. But yeah, so I think that I just know, I don't know how I do. They plug in. How about that?
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, they plug in and I don't even know half the stuff I say. I don't even know why I'm saying it. I just know that they took over. They didn't sit inside my soul. I don't allow that. But they plug in and they just go. And I just don't even know. I could give you names. I could give you certain scenarios that people go, what the hell? But it's not really me. It's just what comes through me.
Right.
And that's that. Yeah. I just don't know.
So actually this segues right into this question that we got. Like, how does a medium distinguish between messages received from spirit versus their own imagination?
Oh, because you learn when you're doing this work and you're doing the meditation, you'll know how you conduct yourself. You'll know how you speak. You'll know all of what's you and what is not you. Just like with the poems, when I started doing the article, I'm like, I don't write this. I don't know how to write limericks. I don't even know what this is. So you'll know, they'll teach you. There's like a little shift that goes on. You're like, oh no, I see spirit, or annoying at you. Like, say this, say this, say this. And it's your own voice, but you know, it's not you because it's not something you would say or do or feel when you're just being you. So there is like a little difference of, and you never put your own opinion in any reading because that will never go well. And there have been many psychics that I've gone to myself and I'm like, in my head going, this girl is just full of it. I can't even, like, hating on men or you know, hitting a situation and giving their own opinions. But if it's something that I feel like I need to interject as Bobby, I go, well, that's spirit, but Bobby would never say that. Because sometimes they tell people things that I'm just like, oh my goodness, I would never say something. How am I going to even say this? And then once you say it, the people go, that's exactly what they would say. That I know 100% that is my dad or that's my mom. So you never edit anything, and you know the difference between what you're going to say versus what comes through you from spirit. You just know.
Mm-hmm.
It's some, maybe some people find it hard and they feel like they have to fluff. Because if their consciousness gets in the way of spirit, they're going to get all flustered. They're going to be like, oh my goodness. And once you get carried, that's happened to me way in the beginning. Like there's crickets sometimes. You don't know, like nothing's happening because you stepped in the way of that flow. And when you do that, then you're not going to get the information. So I can say at this point, I've been doing this since 98. I know what I know. And that's that.
Yeah. When you're doing readings, does evil or negative information ever come through?
I don't allow it. I had that conversation way back when with my guides. I will never pass anything about up and coming death. I tell them that in my 30-second speech every day when I do my sessions. Mm-hmm. I will never speak about that. Do not ask me. Some people beg you. I need to know. I don't care. You can beg me to kingdom come. I will not open it for you because once you open that door, it's not closing. And I don't want to know that. That's for God to know. I don't need to know when someone's passing, how they're going to pass. I don't want to know that. People do. I don't want to do that. That's scary to me. Like, I don't need to know that. I don't want to see that. No people that are going to pass. I don't want to. And like, unless somebody's like in hospice and they're like, you know, on and they're having hospice come and they're on their deathbed, they might tell me that, but they won't tell me when they're going to pass. Mm-hmm. My dad just passed on September 8th and they did not tell me they did not tell me until the week of, like, because it went so fast because he like beat cancer and then it came back like full force. And being at his bedside, it was, as a medium, that was hard for me. I never experienced something like that. That rocked my world in a way that I'll never be the same. But
it's like opening Pandora's box, right? You said it a better way, actually. Like once that door opens, it'll never close. So you don't.
Yeah, because they kept telling me Friday. I'm like, no. And they're like, Friday. Because I wasn't going to go. There was one day that like, he lives an hour and a half from me. And I was like, well, my brother just got there with his wife. And I was like, maybe I'll just wait one day and I'll go. And then they said, Friday. And I said, Friday, I should go? And they said, no, go today. They're like, Friday. And he passed on the 8th of Friday. Yeah. So, like, that's different because that, you know, they're getting ready to transition and they're going to go. So that's not seeing an up and coming death the way I view it. Somebody else might think, well, why did you know that? Well, because I wasn't going to go every day to give respect to whoever flew from out of the state and spend time, you know. But so it wound up being that. So in that respect, I think, well, sometimes people will say to me, you know, my grandmother's in hospice or my whomever, their loved one, and they just want to know when. I go, I really don't know. I don't tune into that. But I do know I could tell you who's there in the room, standing around them, waiting for them to go, like if pets there. Mm-hmm. Or if there's the relatives or whatever. So that type of stuff. But there are people that do see, like, I don't know, I think Sylvia Brown used to see like melting faces and then she would know the person's getting ready to transition. That scared me. I don't like that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not my
thing. Anyhow, guess what? The hour's almost done. I mean, we're out of time. Can you believe it?
But yeah, I like to talk.
That's okay. No, but I mean, we're super fast. Before we go though, like let's find out a little bit about you and your business. And, I guess people can get a lot of information from your website, bobbyallison.com.
Yes.
And how far
out, you know, I mean, I scare people sometimes cause it's not really that far. Some people book like a year, but I don't like to do that cause I like to travel. So I book like 6 to 8 weeks out, but I do have flexible days cause there may be a day that, you know, I took off and I told my scheduler, like, you know, don't give me this day, that day. And then I decided, you know what, throw people in there. So there might be a waiting list of people that want to get in sooner. And sometimes there's expedited readings. They could pay a little extra to get it in. I might give like a half an hour on one day that I'm not reading. So it's 6 to 8 weeks. I do sometimes Zoom groups, which I guess I have to get back to them. So I do those sometimes where it'll be like a lesser fee for people that maybe just want to learn about it. So it'll be like maybe $40 a person and then I cap it. And everyone's bugging me to do classes, but I've yet to commit to that. And I'm going to be having soon some really neat things come up. So just keep going back to BobbyAllison.com. And that's Bobby with an I. And the Allison is A-L-L-I-S-O-N. So it's BobbyAllison.com.
Great.
And also my social media, which is a great way. I really just use it for business and sometimes throw my grandchildren up there. But
yeah, you're on Facebook and all that?
Facebook, Instagram. I don't really do the Twitter thing too much. I don't really know how to work it that great. But yeah, my website's the best. And yeah. Facebook, Instagram, yeah, that type of stuff.
Good, good.
Well, I had so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I always enjoy speaking with you.
Oh, me too. I enjoy speaking with you too, Bobby. It's
been anytime. A
pleasure. And I'm sure we'll you know.
I'm sure we'll talk soon. Sure. Definitely.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Have a great one.
Thank you. Yeah, have a good one, Bobby. Thank you. And good night, everybody.